You're listening to SBS News.
The term war criminal has been used by international figures to describe the Russian president. But what does it mean to be one? When asked by reporters, US President Joe Biden says he believes Vladimir Putin fits the description.
Mr. President, after everything we've seen, are you ready to call Putin a war criminal?
No.
Did you ask me whether I would call
Putin a war criminal, sir?
I think he is a war criminal.
The Kremlin immediately rejected Mr. Biden's assessment, with spokesperson Dmitry Peskov describing Mr. Biden's comments as unacceptable and unforgivable rhetoric. Australia's Foreign Minister Maurice Payne echoed Mr. Biden's statements whilst announcing sanctions to ban the export of aluminium ores to Russia.
This will limit Russia's capacity to produce aluminium. That is a critical export for Russia. This demonstrates our commitment for holding the Putin regime to account for its actions. The targeting of innocent civilians and civilian infrastructure are war crimes.
The Russian government says its rationale for the invasion was to fight for a so-called peaceful life for the citizens of Donbass for the denazification and demilitarization of Ukraine. President Vladimir Putin previously said it would mean the country wouldn't be threatened by an anti-Russia right that he says has been fueled by the West.
24th of February, we began the special military operation in Ukraine to protect our citizens in Donbas and to ensure security of our homeland. Russian soldiers and officers are acting like real heroes. Our military are fighting in a stoic way, fully understanding their duty.
So, is this term simply political spin constructed by leaders around the world, or can Mr. Putin be accurately described as a war criminal? And if so, what are the consequences? To be described as a war criminal, a person must have first committed a war crime. According to the Statute of International Criminal Court, which sits in The Hague in Netherlands, a war crime is defined as a serious violation of the laws and customs applicable in international armed conflict. University of Sydney Chalice Chair Ben Saul says there is a wide range of war crimes that exist, but some of the most common and relevant ones are acts that deliberately target civilians.
Targeting civilians in an indiscriminate way, which means, for example, using weapons in densely populated urban areas, which just cannot discriminate between military targets and civilians. And launching attacks which would have cause excessive civilian casualties.
For the University of Western Australia's Associate Professor of International Law, Melanie O'Brien, she says it is clear where Mr. Putin stands when applying this definition.
Putin is absolutely a war criminal. Regardless of the political circumstances, this has still happened. Putin has still waged an aggressive war against Ukraine, and the actions of the Russian military within Ukraine, many of them amount to war crimes.
The ICC has already started investigations into alleged war crimes committed by Russia after 39 countries provided referrals to The Hague, including Australia. These war crime allegations surround the targeting of civilian sites such as kindergartens, hospitals, residential blocks, and homes that have led to hundreds of innocent people dying. But Professor Saul says it's difficult to gather evidence of war crimes on the battlefield because of security issues for investigators.
It does take a long time. It's more difficult to link the senior military commanders and the senior civilian commanders right up to Putin, because then you've got to not only learn who did what on the battlefield, but who ordered them to do that.
Mr. Putin would have to be physically detained in order to stand trial for war crimes against Ukraine, a mammoth challenge. Without the Russian leader surrendering himself to The Hague, there could be no formal trial or potential conviction. Professor Saul says there is a good precedent for bringing to justice senior war criminals when remembering the conviction of 166 Nazi officials after World War II at the International Military Tribunal in Germany. But Dr. O'Brien says the ICC isn't the complete answer.
The International Criminal Court is what we call the court of last resort. So it's the most well-known, it's extremely prominent, but what we've tried to create is a system of international criminal justice where the court of first resort is actually a domestic court. And so the national court's trying someone.
She says due to its limited resources, the ICC only has the jurisdiction to prosecute a select number of war crimes.
So we do need to remember that we need to look at those national court options, including Ukraine and other domestic courts where they are able to do that, to ensure that there is a more comprehensive justice and accountability for all of the war crimes being committed in Ukraine.
Hannah Kwon, SBS News.